Okay. So last week we discussed one point. We discussed the importance of an esrog not being merkav.
Do last week.
We should just make a little bit more room. We're going to need maybe a little bit more room.
I got Marvin's head. Oh, Marvin. Ephraim. Okay, gotcha.
It was a long, long different life ago.
Okay. So we discussed last week the importance of an esrog not being merkav. What I want to go through tonight, B'Shem, the other psulim of esrog that we have to look out for on the esrog we're going to get, and let's try to go through hopefully all of them. Okay. First of all, the Torah says when it describes the esrog, it calls it pre eitz hadar. So Mishnah Berurah in his Hakdama says that means it should be noeh v'hadar b'taro v'gidulo. Its appearance, meaning under the surface of it, should be hadar, and also v'gidulo. It's the shape of the esrog should be also noeh. And there are certain dinim that are certain things that are just lechatchilas and milas, and certain things that are actual dinim. Now. And hadar, as we mentioned last week, it really applies to all four minim because they learned out one from the other. So when it comes to the various psulim in the dal minim, we're talking specifically now about esrog. There are some psulim that are possible because of hadar; they don't meet the Torah's minimum standard of hadar. And there are other psulim that are problems of a chisaron, that it's lacking. It's not a complete esrog. The psulim that are for chisaron are only apply to the first day. The only because the first Torah says lokachtanchem b'yom rishon creates other, and so when the chi of deraisa, we were just touching on this, chi of deraisa of an esrog is only the first day of yontif. Only one day is the chi of deraisa. Meaner rabbana, we keep in chutz laretz, we keep yontif 2 days, so it's like an extension of that. But the other days of all the days of chol hamoed, there's no mitzvah min haTorah to take dalad minim. The rabbana were mesakin at zechel hamikdash, because in the base of mikdash there was a mitzvah to take the lulav all 7 days. So the rabbana were mesakin that we take the lulav and esrog all 7 days, even begulim. That's the rabbanon. So when it comes to psulim that have to do with the shleimus of the esrog, that only applies on the first day, and as is chutz la'aretz to a certain extent the second day. But psulim which are lacking in hadar, that's a machlokas rishonim. Is that also just the first day, or did when Chazal made the mitzvah of all 7 days, did they make the mitzvah such that you have to comply with the standards of hadar all 7 days? So this is Machlokas Rishonim. The Shita of the Rambam is that it only applies the first day. Hadar only applies the first day. And this is how the Mechaber Paskins in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Tav Reish Mem Ches, the Mechaber Paskins that you only need you only need Hadar the first day. However, the Ramah Paskins like the Shita of the Rosh, that when the Rabbanu were masaking Lulav and Esrog, so they were masaking that all 7 days it has to comply with Hadar. If you want it to be a kosher Lulav and Esrog, it has to be Hadar all 7 days. And that's how, therefore, Ashkenazim, certainly we follow the Pesach of the Ramah, that you have to, anything that's going to be, we're going to say is puzzle, because it's lacking in Hadar, is going to be puzzle all the days. Now, just to mention, again, going back to the idea of the 2 days in Chutz La'aretz, so anything that passes only the first day, which is, well, according to the Mechaber, that's even hadar, but according to Ramah, that means something that's a chisaron in the esrog. So the first day it passes for sure. The second day the psaki is that if you should definitely try to avoid it, but if you can't, you still take it without a bracha. So if you'll say, well, then you would do that the first day too, right? If you had nothing but an esrog that was chaser or that was had another one of these psulim, it says mefurish that you should take it even the first day without a bracha. So what's the chiddush of the second day? The chiddush is that the second day the Mishnah Berurah says you don't have to go out of your way to find a different one. The first day you have mamash mitzvah deraisa and it's a vadi psul, so you have to do your best to find another. If there is no other one, then you take it without a bracha. The second day, if you have something that's only a psul on the first day, quote unquote, So then you could take it on the second day with a bracha. You don't have to go to a special effort to find something that doesn't have that psul. Okay, so let's start with the psul of chaser. One of the basic things you have to look for when you go to buy an esrog is you have to make sure it's not chaser. But what is chaser? So there are really two shitas in the Shulchan Aruch. The first shita, chaser, means missing. It's lacking. Something is missing in the esrog. The first shita is that even if it's a kol shehu, no shear, even a small amount is missing. When I say missing, though, not just a hole, not just like it got pricked and it just made a hole, but actually something, and we'll see of what part of the esrog, but there's something actually missing from the esrog. So according to the first sheet in Shulchan Aruch, that's even if it's a kol shehu, there's no shear, even if the smallest amount is missing, it passes the esrog for the first day. The second shita in Shulchan Aruch is much more kal. Second shita says that it only passes if there's a hole that's mefulish, the hole that goes straight through the esrug, or if it's missing a size of an iser. An iser is already a certain coin, much more than just a kol shehu, much more. It would be a large amount. Halacha, we pass like the first shita. We pass like the first shita that even a kol shehu missing passes the esrug. But the Rama says, b'shas al-chak, if a person has no choice, then he could rely on the second shita and even make a bracha. In other words, as long as the esrog is not missing up to a ke'isr, then if there's no other esrog available, and then he would take it and even make a bracha on it, the halacha. However,
why would it be
chashish
for the first day
and the bracha? Because it's not borrowed that the halacha is the first day. And we'll see there's some other sfeikas involved anyway, but it's not borrowed that's the halacha. So the Mishnah passes. You could be samech on that day, but the Adirsha brings down already from the Sefer Yeshua's Malko. That's not so nogea for us, because Baruch Hashem, esrogim is so prevalent, so even if your esrog is that way, let's say you bought an esrog and you thought it was perfect, and then it turns out you find something's chaser, you find the first day, or maybe it got damaged and it's chaser, so your friend has an esrog, there are people around you with an esrog, so you shouldn't make a bracha on it, you shouldn't say, okay, I have no other esrog, because you could take someone else, even the first day, it has to be yours, but you could take it, with a matanam slahachser, so lemaisa, you wouldn't make a bracha in any normal circumstance. Maybe if a person is stuck somewhere, who knows where, and he has mamish no other esrog, then that's where it'd be no gain. On Shabbos? No, obviously not, because it says you do it, but yeah, okay. Okay. Now, this psul of chaser is on the entire esrog, not just on the top. Certain psulim we'll see are only the top of the esrog, the chayitah. This psul is in anywhere in the esrog. So this is something you have to check your esrog, all over to make sure that there's no chaser. Okay, now the question is though, what chaser what? We said even a kol shehu, but a kol shehu of what? So the Mishnah Berurah explains that in esrog there are three layers to the esrog, even before you get down to the chadri hazeri, before you get down to the where the seeds are inside, there are three layers of esrog. There's the very outer layer, we call the klipa yeroka daka, a very thin greenish covering or layer around the esrog.
Or yellow?
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. Okay, yellow.
Which is considered more.
Hopefully we'll get to that. Okay,
hopefully.
Okay. Otherwise, you could ask me privately. So the first, that's the first layer. The second layer is a much thicker layer of still called a peel. It's bitter if you try eating it after sukkahs. That's the second layer, and then first starts the flesh of the esrog, which is white. The second layer is also yellowish greenish, and then you get to the third layer, a white layer of rind or whatever you call it. Before then, and then beyond that is where the seeds of the esrog are, and whatever little juice is in the esrog is found over there. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Sivav, Tarfish Memche Sivav, the Mechaber writes that if the klipa chitzona, the outer, this first outer, very thin outer layer, gets peeled off, it's not going to pass the esrug unless, according to the first sheet, unless it's completely peeled off, the entire thing, or the second sheet says that there has to be a seller's worth, also like the size of a coin, but much less than rov. In other words, the Mechaber says, Mechaber is telling us, and this is, there's no machlokas here, even in the Ra, that this outer layer could be missing in the majority, at least the majority, according to one sheet, and the entire thing could be missing. Even according to the other sheet, you could be missing, let's just call it three quarters of it. 75% of it could be peeled off, And but if it's just that outer layer, the esrog is still fine. The esrog is still kosher. Okay. Now, so I'm saying, what are they right here? Ah, okay. So that means these two opinions that we just discussed about, you know, in the whether it's just a kosher who missing or has to be a kisser missing. That's not talking about this layer. This layer could be missing entirely or nearly entirely and still be kosher. But what is the problem? So according to the Mishnah Berurah, the problem is the next layer. The next layer, which is still this, you know, the yellowish yellowish peel, before you get to the white, that's what the Shulchan Aruch is talking about, that if it's chaser, that's where you have the two opinions. And like we said, we're machmer for the first opinion, that even if it's missing a kosher, it's puzzle. So once you're beyond that very thin glazed type of layer, once you're beyond that, and you're at the next, the yellow, even if you don't see any white, because it's just missing mamash just a little bit, but there's something missing. You examine, you look at the esrog, you see there is something missing there from the yellow, then that's already puzzle, and according to the first shita, which passed like, that esrog would be puzzle on the first day of Yom Tov. That's the Mishnah Berurah shita. The Chazon Ish is cholik.
Unless b'shas tzchak.
Right. If you had no other choice. Right. The Chazon Ish is cholik, and he says no. That's not the problem. Even that layer is not a problem. That layer could be missing also, and it's not a problem. The only time it's considered chaser, that it's puzzle, even according to the first opinion, kol shehu, when it's missing from the white, the actual white rind, the white buster of the esrog, that's what has to be shalim. But you could be missing mamash the entire outer layer, and it would still be come out the entire thing, and it would still be kosher, according to the Chazon Ish.
How much of the white would have to be missing in order to be?
So that we say even a drop. Once you're down to the white, even if a drop is missing, it's a problem, according to the.
You took it and you could see the seeds on the inside.
Yeah, or even if you can't. And in fact, the Chazon Ish himself says that if you have an esrog where there's a spot where it was, you know, it was gouged out a little bit, and it gets down to the white so you could see the white, don't use it. Because even though the Chazon Ish himself holds that till you get to the white, there's no problem with chaser, but once you can see the white, you never know for sure. Maybe a little bit of the white's also missing, right? And the only thing the Chazon Ish would in practice allow it is when you see there's some of the yellow missing, clearly missing, but it's still yellow inside. It's not white yet. That means you haven't reached the third layer, what the Mishnah Berurah calls the third layer. You haven't reached that most innermost layer, and therefore it's no problem. But once you could see down the white, then you don't use. Then even the Chazon Ish says not to use it because maybe once you see the white, maybe there was a little piece of white that was already missing. Okay, so we have this very big machlokas, Mishnah Berurah and Chazon Ish, and in Shlomo Zalman says in Halicha Shlomo that Lamaisi says the minig is to be machmer like the Mishnah Berurah. He sounds like it's not barer. In fact, they say there are many chalkim on it. There are many chalkim on the Mishnah Berurah, but the minig is to be machmer like the Mishnah Berurah, that once it's missing from any of the yellow is missing, it's no good. The only thing we would accept to be missing would be from this very outer layer. If a person would be, you know, expert enough or confident enough to be able to tell, you see this epi something missing, but it's very clear this person has seen many esrogim, or when he sells esrogim, and he's gotten to know them, and he knows that there's nothing missing there from the yellow at all. It's just a little scrape off of the outer layer. That would be kosher, but once it's missing the yellow, says the original Mozama, that the minig is to be machmer like the Mishnah Berurah, and not to take it. And that's how the in the Kovetz Halachas from Shmuel Kamenetsky also passes that way, that once it's missing from any of the yellows, missing is pasul. Now,
how does the rabbi understand the machlokes?
When the Gemara talks about chaser, does it mean the busser of the esrog, or does it not? I mean, when the Shulchan Aruch says the klipa hachitzona, the Mishnah Berurah understands that to mean only like this very thin layer on the top. And the Chazon Ish says no, the klipa hachitzona means the klipa that's on top of the white. Everything on top of the white is called klipa
hachitzona. Where did this mostly go? Three layers versus two layers come from?
That much I can tell you right now exactly how, you know, I mean, how the Mishnah arrived at that. So, I mean, there is a metzias question, right? There is a metzias that there's this layer. The question is only, is that all the Mishnah Shulchan Aruch meant when he said the klipa hadaka, that's all he meant? What did he mean even, you know, a little further? That's okay, now, one other point here, though, when I said that Lekuliyam, even according to Mishnah Berurah, if only the outer layer is missing, then it could be missing an awful lot and still be kosher. That's provided the esrog didn't change colors over there. But if it's missing and the area where that's missing became discolored, so that's already going to be a psul. But that's going to be a psul with, which gets into the gather of shinui mara. But we're going to see later a psul of, you know, if there's a discoloration on the esrog, it's a psul. So here too, if a little bit of the skin, of the outer skin is missing and this spot on gets discolored, it's a problem. But the chiddush here is that according to many poskim, even if the discoloration is not a bad color, we're going to see later, everybody knows black dots, we'll get, black is a bad color in esrog, but brown is not a bad color, and whatever, other colors are not a bad color. So here, most learn that if it's missing from the outer layer, even just, and because of that, that spot discolors, that's a psul, whatever the color is. So the Mishnah brings from the Chayodim that lemaisa, there's mak to be makel on that, even on that, that even if it's discolored, unless the discoloration is one of the bad colors, it's not a problem. But that's, again, not only b'mak, he says b'makam et chakesh l'smochol zeh, but otherwise not. And
is that psul al tchasser? What was that?
No, because they were saying no. That would she called shinimara. It's not chaser. When you're missing the outer klipa, it's not never chaser unless the whole thing is missing. But that's already called a shinimara. But the chiddush is it's a shinimara, which according to most poskim pasuls, even though it's not one of the bad maras. Here's the case, and also nafkamina. I'm glad you, because if it would just be one little spot and towards the bottom half of the esrog, it still wouldn't be a problem, because it's working with the dina of shinimara. The dina of shinimara, we'll see later, does not apply, right? Does not apply unless you have a lot of shinimara, as we'll see. But if we're working with chaser, it would be one spot anywhere. It's not chaser; it's just considered a shinimara. But Shmuel Kametzky Sefer also says though that you shouldn't be makel with this. Means once it's the little, even the little outer glit is missing and it changes colors to any color, you shouldn't accept it. And he says there are chashuv and says, right, say that again.
I wanted to ask on that right from the beginning, because the minute you're missing anything, I mean, you can see it's going to be shinui mara.
Maybe, okay. Maybe, okay. I don't know, maybe if the esrog is like super fresh, maybe it'll take a few days. Maybe, it might not happen right. Especially if you bought it, you didn't buy it that way and it happened by you. It just happened now. I take out my esrog and I scraped it. Okay, it's not going to change it like that. I can still use it now, right? And maybe you'll check it tomorrow. Don't buy an esrog there, okay? But, okay. So I just wanted to just throw out a quick line that we find, though, so we mentioned before, I think you asked before, like, why should we make on chaser, like, why even b'shas hachak, why should you make a bracha to be so much? Lamaisa, we find that chaser, it's a shayla, even if we'll go with the chumat the kashita, even a mashu chaser is chaser, but where? I mean, but what? You know, what has to be lacking? So apparently, many don't agree to the Mishnah Berurah that it's even, it's that middle layer. Many hold like the chazanish, it has to be down to the basar, so already it's not, if it's down to the basar, no one's going to use it, but okay, then. Okay, I'll just leave it there for tomorrow. Okay, next. What famous psul or famous problem? Missing the pitten. Pitten breaks off. Let's talk about pitten breaks off. Pitten breaks off, so that's, pretend everybody knows, a big problem. But it's really like this. First of all, the pitten breaking off makes it, chisarin, it's a form of chaser. Well, we'll see. Actually, we'll see whether it's chaser or hadar. Yeah, we'll leave that. But the pitten breaking off, so the Mishnah Berurah makes three categories. The pitten, there's usually a part that goes up, that's in a very narrow thing that's called the pitim, and then on top of the pitim often there's a shoshanta, like a little crown on top of that. So if the pitim itself broke off entirely from the esrog, but to the point where it even left a hole, meaning the whole thing came out, the whole pitim came out, and there's a hole there, even if that hole doesn't go at all deep, but it means it's like gouged out. The entire pitim is missing, so that's possible. That's for sure part of the psul of a missing pitim. If that by the way would be even if it never had, well we'll get to that. Let's leave that for a second. Also, okay. If it's the only thing that's missing is flush with the trap of the esrog, meaning inside the esrog, there's still a little,
not a crevice. There's
no hole inside, right? It's still filled with what was the pitim, but it's leveled. It doesn't protrude above the esrog. So that's the second possibility, and we'll see the din in a minute. And the third possibility is that there's even a piece that's above the esrog, right? Not only is not a hole, and not only is the hole, but even above the esrog, it's partially there. It broke off, The stem really referred to the bottom of the esrog. The piece that's sticking out, that it broke off, but it partially broke off and partially is above the esrog. So the halach like this: if it broke off legamre and it left a hole behind, so then it is going to be pasul for sure. Now, and here I'll just add, even if the esrog never had a pitim, which we'll see later is potentially kosher, but if it has a hole there and that hole goes all the way down to the seed chamber, the chadri zera, then it's also pasul. And the esrog cannot have a hole from the top, you know, even though it's like only in the top, going down to the chadri zera, that would pasul the esrog as well. So there are ways that a mum could check and maybe putting a pin in and measuring, but the average person is probably not going to do that. But okay, so number two is the possibility we said where it's missing. Whatever protrudes above the esrog is missing, and it's just flush with the esrog. So then it's mashran mechaber. In that case, that's not a problem. And the taz also comes out ladina that's not a problem. Some are machmir even in that though that would be possible. But the third case where there's still a piece of pitim above the esrog. Part of it fell off, not just the shoshanta, part of the pitim, but there's still a little piece. So on that the Magen says ein lahachmir. And a number of Echorim bring it down like that way, the Eliyarab and the Shulchan Acharav and Halachabru and Chayodim, they all bring down the Dina of the Smugan of Ram, that as long as there's a piece of it sticking above the Esrog, it's still kosher, it's a kosher Esrog. But the Mishnah Berurah says, since the Hidna Sharatzin, since the Ramach Mirim, so it's Tov Lahader, to take a different one if you can. Tov Lahader, meaning it's Beterach Hidur. We consider it kosher. We consider it kosher once you have a piece of the pitim is still left behind.
Again, in all these three levels, where he's talking to Dafka on the first day?
Well, we'll see. That's going to be totally
in.
Yeah, we didn't say it. Right.
Okay.
Right. When this applies, we'll see.
Right.
Okay. But if the Shoshanta is missing, only the whole pitim is there, just the crown came off, so that's for sure kosher. But the Ramah says even that better not to use, but on that the Mishnah Berurah says only better not to use if you have another one which is better than this one in other aspects. If this is the best esrog, it's better than the only one you can get, but it's missing the Shoshanta, still use it. Because the psil missing the Shoshanta, that's mamash churma ba'alma. So if you have another esrog that's equal to this one and it's not missing the Shoshanta, use the other one. But if you don't have any other esrog as nice as this one, but unfortunately this one, the Shoshanta broke off, you should use this one. Okay, now. So you know, a lot of times, you know, it's a problem when pitim breaks off, but as we're seeing, if the pitim breaks off and there's still a piece of the pitim itself above the esrog, it's really a kosher esrog. It's still a kosher esrog. And many achronim say it's like the Magen Avraham, it's kosher lamaisa. Mishnah Berurah recommends you get another one, use another one because there is a tzad to pasul. But it's really a kosher esrog. The real problem starts when the second level, when it's above the esrog, the whole thing is missing. Okay, so when does it pasul? So on this, again, it's Machlokas Poskim. The Ramah in Taf Reish Mem Tes Sif Hei, the Ramah says that it's only a psul the first day, like we said before. The Ramah says it's a psul of chaser, missing pitim, even in the worst case of missing pitim. The whole thing is missing, is only chaser. It's not a lack in hadar, it's lack in chaser, or it's considered chaser, and therefore it's psul only the first day. But I'm sorry, one second. That's the Ramah's making that. Or is it a psul in hadar? If it's a psul in hadar, then we said back there is a machlokas, Rambam, and Rush, whether hadar applies the other days, and that the Ramah was machmir. So if we'll call it a psul hadar, then the Ramah would say it's no good, but the Ramah personally doesn't consider this a psul hadar. So the Ramah passes this esrog is kosher. Even if it's missing the pitim and gansin, it's kosher the other days, because albeit that hadar, psule hadar passes all 7 days, but this is not a psul hadar. So the Ramah passes that in that case it's kosher. The Mishnah Berurah brings down that the Magen Avraham here is mitzadi lahachmir, that it is cause of hadar, and therefore he recommends being machmir. But he says, You only have to be machmer if it's vadai missing a pitim. Meaning if it's one of the cases where it's not even questionable, it's even shadow whether that's called missing a pitim. Like for sure if you have a piece of it, and there's no crater in the esrog. The crater is filled with pitim, it's just missing above the Esrog level, that's already only a Suffolk Chaser Pitim, so that the Mishnah Berurah says you could take it the other days. The first day we said it should be Machmir, but the other days you could take it because like there are Mahals that the Hapsol doesn't apply the other days, and even if it does apply, it's questionable whether this is part of the Hapsol. Okay, so hopefully clarify that. Okay, now this is all talking
just
about
to clarify one point. If the psul is on chaser, so then the psul would be relevant all the days of Sukkot.
No, chaser is only the first day.
Chaser is the only first day, and then
chader is a shaila whether it might be all days. Chaser is only the first day. Okay, now this is all talking about an esrog which lost its pitim. What about an esrog which never had a pitim? So if in the during the growth of the esrog. Certainly, if at an early stage, the pitim fell off naturally through growth, then it's a kosher esrog. But there's a big machlokas here to define what is that stage. You know, at what point? If you look at the Lichah Shlomo or Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, takes a pretty lenient position. The idea is because if it's missing, if it grows, falls off in its growth, that's not called chaser. It's not lacking hader. That's the natural way. You know, these esrogim grow. That's why it'd be kosher. Now, so in the Halicha Shlomo in Perek Yud, Sif Yud Ches, he says that Ein Chilik, or it says in his name again, Ein Chilik Bein Nafal B'Tchilas Gidul L'Mamish L'Nafal B'Hemshech HaGidul Kol She'Nafal B'Zman She'Darkol Yipol. As long as it fell off at a point where it's the norm, and he says every Kol Zon V'Zon Lefi Tivo Tchuna, so each breed, each type of esrog according to its normal habits. Now, I don't know exactly how, none of us probably, I mean, at least, you know, we're not going to be able to know that exactly, the specifics of the kind, but he says as long as it fell off at the normal stage, even if it's, you know, further along in the development of the esrog, it would be okay. And he said, what it says there, hasrogim hametsuyim, she'ein leim pitim, the standard esrogim that we find, that come to the market without pitim, k'sherim the low pickbook, he says you don't have to be concerned about on a standard esrog that's being sold as a pitim esrog, right? It's being sold, it's being marketed. Is that he says you don't have to worry. You could assume that it grew that way. If you see that it's nicker that there's something sticking out and it's broken off, he says obviously you can't be foolish. If you see that it obviously had a pitim which broke off later, that's a problem. We're talking about it fell off naturally. Now when it falls off naturally, it'll look different. But maybe we'll get to that. I'll try to mention that in a moment. But that's.
Do they only have Yidden picking them? Like, how do you make sure that the person who picked it didn't mark it?
Well, so I say you, and don't that you can make sure, but there are certain simanim to be able to tell. That we'll try to see if they. Okay, but before that, so Rabbi Yashua, whoever, is much more machmer. If you look, this is brought particularly in the Sefer Yisa Yosef from Rav Efrati when he brings Rabbi Yashua's shitas. Is in the first Chelik, Chelkav, Simkuf Lamed Beis, and also in Chelik Gimel, Simkuf Nun Ches. And he writes that, according to Rabbi Yashiv, Pitim Shenafal, Afilu Kesha Esrog, Mechuba Le'ilan, even if it's still attached to the tree, Kol Shaha Yeshem Esrog Alav, Dino Kenafal HaPitim. If it's already developed enough that it's called an Esrog, it's not just like a fledgling Esrog, it's called an Esrog, it passes already. And he said it's not clear exactly at what stage that is. Some wanted to say that till it's the size of a kosher esrog, till it's the size of a kebetza is the size, minimum size of an esrog. Some wanted to say till it's that size, it's not a problem, but he rejects that. He says, no, that's not at all Rabbi Yashiv held. It could be less than a kebetza and it's still called an esrog. It might not be the shear of an esrog yet, but it's still already developed and that's called an esrog. So it's very unclear what that shear is. So kind of like a very like broad machlokas in how to approach this sugya. The way it's like the way it's brought down from Shlomo Zalman is fairly, you know, kulidic, whereas from Rabbi Yashiv it's brought, you know, quite the contrary.
So
the
contrary, Rabbi Yashiv should be using pitim on the Saturday.
Well,
you rely on the milk, or you rely on the pardes.
So. Yeah, it does. It is brought from Eliashev that it's better to take an esrog with a pitim, even if it's not as pretty. And we'll talk later, but hopefully about bletlach. Even it has bletlach on, which don't passel, but take away everybody knows. But takes away from the better to take it with a pitim and some bletlach than without. Partially for this reason, I'm sure, because. You know, but like we said, we typically rely on the morchim. Now there are certain simanim. They say if it fell off during the growth at a kosher stage, it'll usually be indented inside. Some say there'll be like a little rim around it, also around the area, and there's something called scar tissue. I mean, I saw pictures of it. I could tell from the picture what the scar tissue is on an esrog. But like Gad said, we rely on the mochrim to a large extent. But the mochrim, meaning the back in Eretz Yisrael, the people who package them, and there's hashgacha of this rav or that rav or tachas pikuach, you know, and adam gadol. So to a large extent, we're relying on them that they're not, you know, tricking us. And the mochrim also tend to have a little bit of a more, you know, bekiyas to know a little bit. Because sometimes there's one that looks a little fishy, and so don't buy it.
It continues to grow over it?
It sounds like something to, I don't know exactly whether the scar tissue, because no, it doesn't, it's really not, it doesn't cover the spot, because you do still, I'd rather think it has a little indentation. So I'm not, you know, I can't, you have to ask the esrog says what that means, the scar tissue. Okay, I'll go upon him. In the Rav Shmuel and Kavis Halachas goes a little bit more towards Rav Eliashiv's opinion here, and he says, "Kol sheyesh safek masinaf al yesh lachash, not to take it." Okay, al kapanim, is there stama hidit to take an esrog with a pitim? Let's say you know this esrog for sure; it was grown pitimless in the lachal days. Is there hidit? So it's still brought in the Chaim Kamenetsky brings in the Kuntres HaZichronis in the name of the Chazanish that there is a heder, there's a heder to take it with the pitim, and the Chazanish himself was mahadur on this, and it's brought the Kilas Yaakov, which brought Chaz Rebbeinu also is mahadur to go for an esrog with the pitim. The Alicha Shlomo, who is the big makel on what's called, you know, what's still kosher without a pitim, but he still says it's brought in his name also, there's a heder to take an esrog with the pitim. And again, they said from Yashav Avada, he says there's a heder, even if it has bloodlach on it, better to take it with a pitim, which makes sense, you know, particularly Shitaso, because without a pitim already is much more limited, leeway to accept it without a pitim. The only place I saw in print so far says the opposite. In the Shmuel in the Kovitz Halacha says nearest she'em was a hider be'etzim. There's no hider be'etzim. If it's a shiloh, if it's kosher or not, of course, don't. But if it's definitely kosher without a pitim, he says nearest she'em was a hider be'etzim. Okay. Okay. Now, what about the other side? We mentioned before the ukkas, the stem, the real stem, the other side of the esrog. It's the ukkas it's missing. So, if the ukkas is missing entirely, and there's a hole. Again, there's a hole inside. So, the mechaber says it's puzzle. But if it's there's no hole. It's again, it's filled. It just broke on the part that's it protrudes from the esrog, but the hole is finished. It's filled in. Then it's kosher. Okay. Now let's get to shinu mara, which means when the esrog looks a change in the color of the esrog. Okay. Everybody knows, it says in Shulchan Aruch that a shinui mara to black or to white passes the esrog. That's what it says in Sif Tezayin, Tarash Mechel Sif Tezayin. Now, it's interesting, over there, it doesn't even mention the chotem. When we're looking for a shinui mara, we're typically looking, with our greatest scrutiny, on the chotem. The chotem is... Machlok is exactly what it is, but we take the chotim to mean where the esrog starts to narrow. From the point that the esrog starts to narrow, and how far up, so the Mishnah Berurah says, even including the pitim itself, which is when there's still basar around the pitim. Apparently, many chalik with that and say that it doesn't include the pitim. There's a day in Rishonim that it's davka the pitim, right? The chotim is davka the pitim. The Mishnah Berurah says, no, the day that we're machmer like that is from where it starts to narrow, but it also includes the pitim. But many others say not like that. It's only it's still a pitim. It doesn't include the pitim. Okay, al kabban lemais lachatchila with Shabbi Mas. So now, a shinui mara to black on the chotem passes even if there's just one black shinui mara. I'm being careful, so to use the word shinui mara, not black dot, but one black shinui mara on the chotem passes. But the interesting thing is you won't see that in Sif Tezayin where it mentions the psul of black and white. It doesn't say that. But earlier in Sif Yud Beis, when it was talking about a different psul called Chazazis, which we have to go into because we don't get those Zisrogim, there it says it passes on the Chotem, and it's mentioned just like a Shinu Mara also does. Yeah. So it's like it's mentioned there almost out of place. The main problem that we have, or the main thing that we're examining our Esrogim over, is not even mentioned in the main Sif. I just thought that was very interesting. It's mentioned back as your base. Al Kapanim, a Shinu Mara to black on the Chotem Pasul. And that's where it comes to them. People buy Esrogim, they're very careful. It shouldn't have a black dot, right? It shouldn't be a black dot. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't be careful. 100%. When you're buying an Esrog, you definitely should be careful. But it's not so pashit that those black dots is what the Shulchan Aruch means by Shini Mara. Pashit Shini Mara means that, like, the flesh of the Esrog changed. Like, you can imagine yourself an Esrog, which is its nice deep yellow color, and then there's a spot that's blackish. You can see it's mamish the Esrog itself. The skin of the Esrog is blackish. That's a Shini Mara, black or white. We don't get white. We get black potentially. But that's been taken to mean also a black dot, because now it might be a little dot where the skin of the Esrog right there and that dot changed. But many are mefakpek if that's really called the Shini Mara. First of all, I'll just think, three sources that I was malakate in. The first one, I personally went, this is going back to about in 83 or 84, I think, or shortly after I got married. So I wanted to try to learn a little, get a shemesh and zrogim. So my shverot connections with him, he asked Rav David Feinstein, he said it's not okay by him, but he sent me to somebody who sells a zrogim, you know, like mitzad from Teres Yerushalayim, who was, I think, a Talmud of Teres Yerushalayim, and he sold the zrogim, he sent me to him, and I spent a little bit of time with that yid. I don't remember his name exactly, but he told me, I believe Shem Ramosha, that these black dots, that's not the Shinra. These black dots, that's some sort of dirt or something that maybe it got embedded in the Esrog at an early stage and now you can't get it out. Sometimes you can. And especially you don't want to play around with an Esrog, well, certainly before you bought it, because you don't want to buy it as a puzzle Esrog, but even after you bought it, you know, people, but the mocher might, and sometimes, often these things do come out, but they say it could be it comes from pesticides, the pesticides which dry up on the Esrog, and then the sun bakes it in and turns it black. That's one of the, a theory, or maybe that's where some of them come from, or otherwise it might be dirt or other things. Now even then, it's not 100% pasha that it doesn't puzzle. It could be. It's sad to say that. It's sad to say that once that happened at an early stage and that grew with the Esrog, that became the Esrog. So it's hack up part of the Esrog. But it seems that probably the pasha is not that way. That if you knew for sure this is an external thing, you wouldn't pass it. So that's one source. And also, there's a sefer called Lekicha Tama, Rabbi Avram Wright, a guide to buying a little of Esrog, published by Feldheim. See, he brings this also on page 51. He brings from Rav David Feinstein, actually, in Ha'ara 57, that a different svar, that since these are so shriach, then that's for Hagufa, it doesn't pass. Because the whole idea is things that are shriach on an Esrog are considered the Mara Ha'esrog. You see in the Mishnah Berurah, many things don't pass because that's the normal Mara. So Rav David said they're so shriach, so Mela, it's Mustaba that's considered the Mara Esrog already. Okay, it's a different svar, but he brings that as a pasul. Number two, in the Archus Rabbeinu from the Stipler, he brings a whole bunch of things about black dots, but the bottom line, or the last one he says there, Mistaber Shizadavar Bimachutz, it's Mistaber, that's an external thing, the Einam Poslim, Afshakach Lasim, even though it's very difficult to get it off, it's probably, and he says, Barolo to the stipler, Shekasher Avshinisher. It's Baro to the stipler that it's Kasher, even if you can't get it off. That's number two. And number three is in the Halicha Shlomo also, in Perek Lamed, Perek Yud rather, Tarahalach Lamed, very similar thing, that these little pintalach, these little black dots is not Shini Mara. Now, I will say, Shmuel in the Sefer Kovetz Halachas doesn't go like today. He says, don't mess around with black dots. Stay away. And I'm not recommending that anybody just go ahead and buy his off. We just heard that everyone said, or many Gedolim said, black dots is a Shini Mara. You know, the mocher just took $75 off this Esrog because of a black dot. I'll take it. No, don't do that. It doesn't pay. But a big nafkamina, if sometimes people come over on the first day of Yontif already and they show, I just want to show you my Esrog. So if the same Esrog, if you would have showed it to me in the store, I would say, don't take this one. But showing it to me now, and it's already Yontif, and it has this black dot, and possibly, and we'll see in a second, there are other cheshbonos here. So it wouldn't be so quickly to reject it. Another cheshbon, first of all, it has to be on the chotem. Sometimes it's a shayla exactly, where is it? But also, how do you look for a black dot? So most say you don't look like this. You don't, take it up and examine it and check very carefully. That's not the way you look for it. You look for black dot holding it basically at arm's length, the way you hold it when you take it for the mitzvah, which is about this, almost arm, maybe arm's length mamish, but you know, close to it, and then it's got to be nearer very quickly. They bring the post can bring from the mabit. Mishnah Berurah brings this down. Mishnah Berurah in Tafresh Mem Ches. Oh, I wrote it over here. I didn't get a chance to put the notebook yet. Tafresh Mem Ches Sif Katan Mem Beis, I think it is. Sivkat Memvav. Mishnah Berurah says there that it has to be something that's pretty obvious, not that it takes scrutiny to find it. And they say even, I think I saw them in Shmuel say, but even if was that?
Just a quick glance. You say don't focus.
Yeah,
on
right. And even if you found it, and now every time you look, you see it, that doesn't count. Because if you only you see it now because you know it's there, show it to some, you know, if you would show it to someone else and you wouldn't find it so quickly, then it's not. It has to be something that's pretty obvious. Holding it at this now, that's the at least the Karadin. So the Dishon does bring down that it sounds like the Chazanish once saw Reb Chaim Brisker examining an esrog with a magnifying glass, and he asked him, "What are you doing? I mean, if you have to look at the magnifying glass." We never halacha never reckons that. So he said, it's not a shadow of a psul, but he says mistama that there's a mila that it should be completely clean and not even have that. Okay, but that's a mila, maybe. Shmuel says not even a mila. He doesn't bring this from Chaim. He says not even a mila. But it's certainly not a psul. If you have to have a magnifying glass, then there's nothing to talk about. Shinimar will be a psul the whole time. At least according to the Ramah. It's with the Ramah that psuli had their pasul the whole time.
Okay.
No, Mr. Chaim obviously held. Chaim Brisker held is a mila. He said, "Mistam is a mila," but maybe it's a mila for Chaim Brisker's neshama. Maybe for you and or at least for I. Maybe.
Shidam Baro is a gather of hider, or is it separate? It's a separate lacha, or it's part.
I think it's called psoli hider.
It's not because of hider.
No, I think it's.
Oh, you're saying it's a dinner of hider.
Yeah. Okay, we come out finished, but I don't want to miss Shad Nath Gishbarachu. We'll best from next time. We'll wrap more in Esther and then we'll.
The Jew who came to the Rova, the black
take
guy.
Take her and get a hang of that.
The Jew who came to the Rova, the